it low? Should I bite my tongue? Or should I march with every stranger from Twitter to get shit done? Used to hang my head low, now I hear it loud. Every stranger from Twitter is gonna burn this down.
From the not yet renamed, but we're open to suggestion studio in the west end of our nation's capital, welcome to Season 7, Episode 3 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. I had to pause. I didn't know the date.
You gotta look at the time, too.
I'm Cardinal Canuck and Panner here as well. Recording tonight came as a bit of a surprise to Canuck and I, so this will be a bit of a bare-bones show. But we wanted to get together to talk about the first few games of the season and also our experience tonight in the press box of the Canadian Tire Centre. Boys? No shine this week. You're safe.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm happy that you guys forgot that we were recording, even though both of you say that we didn't agree to this. But
hey,
it works.
Yeah. It's clear. We're already out here. Well, you guys live in this end of the city. I don't. But
yeah, but you're already out here.
I'm already out here, so why not? Exactly. Means I don't have to come out later in the week because I don't really have time to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That works for me.
There you go.
So,
see, consistency is key.
Is it? I thought rest was a weapon.
I feel like Ian's reps are a weapon, but anyway.
Control the controllables.
I heard on the radio today someone tried to blame Carlson the fact that he wanted days off, or that he prefers days off, as to why the team wasn't practicing enough. I'm like, no. That's not up to the captain. That's up to the coach.
Well, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Oh, did you get that one?
I was actually corresponding about that a little bit with Russell earlier. So we'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay, cool.
Since this is bare bones, quick, let's just get right to it. Quick housekeeping before we start. podcast@senscallups.com is the email address. The forums, which have game threads again. Thank you, Homer. Because I keep forgetting to start them. And then he's been very, very... diligent at doing that, and I appreciate it because I completely forgot about them for the first couple of games of the year, even because that's the way my world rolls. I sometimes don't even make it in them because, well, I don't get to watch or listen to the game. I'm working, so some games yes, some games no. But forums are there at senscallups.com, and the waiver wire sponsored by Versature. Thank you very much to them. The new number, in case you missed it in the last episode, the new number is 844-SCUSENS, and if you have trouble spelling that out, it's 844-728-7367. We have one email and one voicemail for later tonight. In the meantime, let's go.
Game on!
I forgot something, as usual. I'm not sure if we did this.
Reload!
I'm not sure if we did this in the last episode or not, and if we did, I don't care. We're doing it again. Thank you to Alex for the donation he made. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we mentioned that. I know I was late on it.
In passing.
Yeah, but thank you, Alex.
Donations. Thanks to nobody else, donators.
Easy now. It's only episode 3. Give them some time to see whether we, you know, are any good this year or not.
If you do not ask, you do not receive.
Yeah, well, okay. Fair enough.
I'm such a jerk.
Game one.
Okay. All right. So, game one. Sens at Leafs. This is the one and only one that really matters when the points don't count.
That was game two, wasn't it?
Game one we covered last time.
Oh, did we? Oh, yeah. There you go. It shows how much I've been paying attention.
So, Sens at Leafs, 5-3 win.
Woo!
Woot.
Sens goals. DeMello, 2 by Shabbat. Some of them were... Uh-oh. Spillage.
Caught it.
I thought this was one of the overflowers.
Mm-hmm. That's reminded me of other things that I've seen. DeMello, 2 by Shabbat. Tierney and Stone with an empty net goal. Leafs goals. Riley, only 1 by Matthews. Bust. And Marner.
Trade him.
Anderson kept them in the game and played his best game since probably game 7 of the conference finals.
Actually, I saw a really interesting summary. You keep talking for a second, but I saw a funny way of summarizing this game. It'll take me a second to find it because I took it as a screenshot.
All right. Well, that's all I've got for this game.
So. Okay, so the Senators' goals in this game were guy traded for a number one defenseman, our new number one defenseman, a guy traded for a number one defenseman, a new number one defenseman, and our future new captain.
Yeah. With a guy receiver.
I can't take credit for that. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true.
It always feels good to beat Toronto.
Absolutely.
Even when it means nothing.
Yep.
It's also really fun to beat Toronto when you have a leafer who you work for who is... building up, oh, you know, how great this is going to be, and you guys are going to get absolutely demolished.
I thought they were going to get killed.
And the first thing he said to me the next workday was, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, that's okay. I'll do all the talking.
Listen, this might be the only win all year.
It doesn't matter.
I'm freaking taking
it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so that's that game. Next game. Unless you had anything else? No.
No, not for me.
Shabbat played. Shabbat was great. He was really good in that game. Sens at Bruins. 6-3 loss. Well, Sens goals, 2 Dezing goals. Ryan off of Boro, off the goalie and off his knee. $7.25 million play. Bruins goals, Bergeron hat trick, Wagner and 2 by Pasternak. He really likes playing against Ottawa, even though this one is Boston. Hey-o. Condon started strongly outside of that first shift, which was just an absolute nightmare. And then he fell apart pretty much at the middle of the game. Should have stopped some of those goals. Didn't. Team didn't necessarily play much better in front of him, but tis a life of being Mike Condon, apparently.
I don't have anything else. I was only paying somewhat attention to that game. I was paying somewhat attention, but not a whole lot.
Could not conception just give me a bad face. Is it comments?
I got nothing. I don't know.
It's amazing.
Okay, well, these two get themselves under control. The next game is game number 4 in this season.
This really tells you how much we prepared.
Well, because 2 of us didn't know we were going to be here.
Was supposed to be here today.
Yeah, game 4, which was tonight. And before we talk about the actual game summary itself, we've been given the opportunity to actually watch the game from the press box. And we're not alone in this. There are other...
Benched again.
There are other social media folk of various types. We're the only podcast, are we not?
Yes.
Yeah, but there are other social media types.
A lot of the other podcasts, I think, have really kind of dropped out or are not local.
Yeah. So, but there were other folks
Or Craig just doesn't respect.
Well, it's nice to know that he respects us. That's kind of nice.
I'm surprised, yeah.
And it was you've been in the press box as a fan.
Yeah, so one of the perks for season ticket holders. Did I bring you to one?
No, I've never been up there before.
Oh, you've never been there?
Well, except for when we were there 2 weeks
ago.
One
year I gave you mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the eye in the sky or something they call it?
Yeah.
Or when we were up there a couple of weeks ago when we went to say hi to Dean and Gord.
Right.
That was the first time I've actually been in the press box itself. I've been down the hall in the production office, but never in the press box.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew that you've been in...
I've been up in the 400s before, yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
But it was fun. And, I mean, a big thank you to the Sens for giving us this opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm going to be back next... You're going this weekend?
I'm going Saturday, yeah. I'm going to all the games in October,
I think. Yeah, I'm going on Monday. Will be my next one.
Am I ever happy that we played top dollar to get 3 games in Vegas, eh?
Mm.
It's like, we're never going to see NHL hockey live. Might as well take advantage, go to all 3. Okay.
3 games in 4 nights? Or how long are you there for?
6, yeah.
5 nights, I think.
5 nights, something like that. 4 nights, 5 nights.
3 games in 5 nights, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense.
So they have like, you know, on off.
Yeah. So the day you arrive, there's a game.
Yep.
Yep.
And then.
So we fly out at 5:30 in the morning Eastern.
Yep.
And games at 7:30 against Vancouver.
So we're probably getting up at like 1 a.m. or 12:30 Pacific, and there's a game a.m. and there'll be a game like what 7 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
No problem.
We'll need a nap.
Oxygen bar.
No problem. They sell. There are people who sell stimulants in Vegas. You don't need to worry about that.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Anywho.
God. Did you see that one? I can't remember which hotel it was in, but it was like, you can IV in stuff.
I'm not like, really
are you
sure.
hungover? Here's an IV. I'm like, this is...
I'm not oh, sure yeah. I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah, I know.
Yee.
It's like, this is scary.
Give yourself an IV, no.
Give yourself hepatitis. There you go.
Well, no, that I'm sure, like, it's a natural store and everything, so I'm sure everything's clean.
Do you really want to give yourself a needle?
But I don't want to get...
IV?
Yeah. Great. I think the reason that they're getting that needle is because they might have taken previous needles the night before.
Oh. Crazy. Getting back to our experience in the press box.
Why would we ever stay on track?
Just because I'd like to get out of here and get home. That's why.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Again, I've been there before, so nothing out of the ordinary.
I haven't. But I was. It was. I thought it was a great experience. I enjoyed where we were sitting, right down at the end of it.
Yeah.
In our own sort of little section with the other social media influencers. That's what they call us, right?
Yes.
Okay. I also liked it because it was a different experience for me to be able to sit somewhere, and as weird as it sounds, quiet.
Yeah.
And watch the game from an analytical point of view rather than sitting amongst fans and watching it from a fan's point of view. I really enjoyed that. Really. And I actually mentioned that to Janice when I had a brief conversation with her, that it was a very interesting experience to be able to be that, I don't want to say detached, but separated from the fan experience of everybody underneath us who were very, very good at yelling, "Ref, you suck." Thank you. It was a small crowd, but they were pretty vocal about that. I thought that was what really made the experience for me, was being able to watch it. I mean, up there, you really watch the way things form back and forth, and, you know, the as plays develop and so on. But I thought it was a great experience. And I mean, from a, I don't want to say journalistic point of view, but from an informational point of view, rather than simply a fan cheering point of view, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I had no idea those hot dogs are so popular.
Yeah, big time. They were pretty good.
People love free stuff.
But right? They weren't very warm. That was my one comment. It's like they
correct.
Could, they could be a little warmer.
Correct.
And
the bun was ice cold.
And, well, I don't care about that. The popcorn, I blame you. I'm looking over at Pan. I blame you because you eat popcorn all the time and I never do. But tonight I had a bag and a half. So I'm going to be retaining about a liter and a half of water. All that salt.
Well, it's good thing you had all that pop that I also recommended that you take.
Yeah, four of them.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm good with that. I drink. Yeah. I can burn that off in an hour. The retained water, I'm worried about.
No, I cannot.
It's like there's a
3 days.
Weight game, you know, via salt. Not necessarily a good weight game program, but anyway. So sitting up high in the press box was actually very interesting for me. And getting to do it again later this month, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Sorry, which game are you going to?
Dallas.
Ooh, Monday. Okay.
Yeah, Monday.
Yeah. That'll be fine because Mark Mathot's back. And he's playing this time.
Yeah. True. Might have to.
I should not wear my Mike Mathot jersey because we're not allowed.
I was going to say, I know I'm not supposed to wear a sweater when I'm up in the press box.
No, we're not allowed.
Well, no. I did feel almost underdressed because I wasn't wearing a collar, a tie, and a jacket.
You're fine.
I was okay. I mean,
you're fine. Some of the writers don't wear it.
Well, there were an awful lot of people wearing suits around there.
There was.
In our group?
Well, not in our row, but further down in the press box, there are an awful lot of
people. Some of those guys are league officials.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I will say is that it's odd when I'm just going into the room to pick up the media credentials and everything, and I see Ron Hextall eating dinner.
Yeah, that dinner smells like, really good, I have to say.
Well, it's friggin' Ron Hextall.
See, I wouldn't have recognized him.
Did he hit you with a stick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he punch you in the face with his blocker? No.
No, it's a little starstruck, which doesn't overly happen any much more, but except for whenever I bump into Mark Stone.
We bumped into Chris Kelly and Sean Donovan a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh, tonight?
Yeah.
Oh,
they were,
cool.
They were up in the hallway, but they were having a conversation. Didn't want to.
Oh, okay.
I thought about Chris it. Like, Chris Kelly. Hey.
Oh, okay. Both. Yeah. Yeah. They're both.
Do you know how much? No. Do you have any idea how much happiness you brought to a friend of mine? That's all I want to know.
You know, if we see him again, we should tell him that story. He probably
I think
he knows
because Bergeron told it to him when he was in
Marchand.
Marchand, sorry,
because Marchand Shredder knows him.
Oh yeah.
So Shredder got Marchand to tell Kelly about it, but
Anyway.
No, lots of fun. Lots of fun.
The game itself. I did take a few notes.
The game itself was exciting.
I did take a few notes.
I guess if you're interested in a hockey score. Flyers 7, Sens 4.
Oh boy. It was a close game until the third period.
Yep.
And then the wheels came
off. Well, it's the back end of a back-to-back, right? Well,
I'm tired of the back-to-back excuse.
For the Flyers, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
It was Bill McCreary that was the problem.
Well.
And the crew that he had down on the ice. There were some really bad penalty calls.
That goalie interference
really bad ones.
Penalty really seemed to swing things. However, that penalty didn't give the Flyers a power play. It just put it back to a 4-4. But
which point I think they scored on it.
They did.
Yeah. It was not the best officiated game. I don't think it was biased. It was just bad.
It was badly officiated. It was bad. I'm not saying it was biased.
I don't think I really felt much of a biasness against the refs. Or by the refs, I should say. In 3 years?
I'd have to think about that one. Or check my game notes.
Last year, it didn't really matter.
Well, would we have noticed?
And 2 years ago, with the playoff run, I was fine with the officiating. It was either fair or equally terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it had been biased, would we have noticed last year?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Anyways, so Sens goals. 2 by Tkachuk, getting his first and second.
And he didn't realize he had scored
that
first goal.
He had idea he had scored.
I thought that one was going to get called, but they reviewed that one very quickly, too, because his legs swept.
It wasn't his foot that they were looking at. It was the foot that he hit before. It was
Tierney's
foot.
He missed it.
Right.
Well, but he had a kicking motion at it, so that's what they were looking at, not the foot motion of Tkachuk, because it went off Tkachuk's foot, too.
Well, you can kick it forward. That's fine for Tierney.
But they wanted to make sure that there wasn't a kicking motion.
By Tkachuk.
No, it was Tierney that they were looking at, not Tkachuk.
Tkachuk didn't know.
But you're allowed to do a kick pass, so that's not an issue.
No, it was kicked. It was the forward motion of his foot that they were looking at, because you can't kick the goal in the net, because it was
originally. Right, but that was Tkachuk who made last contact.
But they didn't realize that at the time.
Oh, okay. Because I even thought that Tkachuk kind of did a sweeping motion.
They were looking at the foot motion of Tierney, apparently.
Wow. Well. Yeah.
Tkachuk didn't know he had scored. Actually, the ref went and got the puck and brought it over to him. He's like, what?
They tucked in. Actually, it was at the next whistle that he actually went over, and Tkachuk was leaning over into the bench, and the ref went over and tucked it in the top of his pants. Here's your puck.
Now he's got poop on it.
No, his jersey was in there, too. It was sort of keeping it from going
down. So it's
down.
Like, okay. If these are the dirty go-to-the-net goals that Kachuk's going to get, I guess that's all right. And then his second was a slapper.
The second one was a beauty. Nice. And 2 little pieces of trivia on that.
That the Flyers thing is wrong, by the way.
Oh?
So Sportsnet tweeted out that all the Tkachuks have scored their first goals against the Flyers. Flat out wrong.
Oh?
Yeah, one was St. Louis, one was Buffalo. Like, they were just wrong.
Oh, well.
Which is unfortunate, because that would have been neat.
I was just going to say, their first goals, it took Brady Tkachuk 2 games, Matthew Tkachuk 4, and Keith 5. But for their first multi-goal
game. So Brady's the best.
For their first multi-goal game, it took Brady 2, it took Matthew 10, and it took Keith 27.
Hmm. But how many did it take Austin Matthews?
It doesn't matter. He's not a goal scorer. He's a Selke.
He just peaked early.
He's a Selke candidate. I mean, he's really converting himself into a defensive two-way forward.
Right. I honestly think he's got a really good chance of beating the 50 and 39.
I don't think so.
Who knows, right? Because things will maybe slow down at some point.
I don't think that record will ever be broken. Because when was the last time somebody...
In today's game, it shouldn't.
When was the last time somebody did 50 and 50?
And 50. Did Ovi do it?
Somebody did it in the past 4 or 5
Didn't
years.
Didn't Danny Heatley do 50 and 04?
He did 50 in a season.
For the season.
But 50, I think Ovi or somebody did 50 and 50 like several years back. But we haven't seen 50 and 50 since then. I don't think 50.
Might have been Stammer.
I don't think 50 and 39. I think it was
Stammer because he had like 75 1 year or something. Ridiculous.
I don't think 50 and 39 will ever. I don't think that record's ever going to fall.
Austin Matthews is the next Danny Heatley anyway.
You think?
Great when he's young. Ooh. Flame out.
Yep.
I don't know why you're saying that yet, but anyway.
We'll see.
Has he ever gotten 4 goals again? Oh, that's geez. Decline. Significant decline. The best he's ever done after that is only 75% output.
He's front-loading his goal.
Yeah. So Brady Tkachuk also got an assist on the 3rd goal.
Tuba Lajoie.
Yeah.
3.9.
What a kid.
3.9. Yeah. Lajoie, I'm very happy watching. He's amazing. Too.
So yeah. Studio 7, an early candidate?
No. Let's wait till January.
We'll see. We may have a rotating. I mean, we may have. We don't have a. If we don't have a studio number, we may have, you know, four alternates.
What was the underground
studio? Wait. Hold on.
Studio 11, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just let this float out there. Studio
5.
417. 41, Anderson, 7, Kachuk.
Studio 417.
The 417.
Who's 16?
6.
Oh, I was going to say.
I was going to say 5.
4 is Phillips, just, yeah.
Just get CeCe out of here and just 5 everything.
Well, 6 is Weidman.
Nah.
I'm just saying.
Whoop-de-doo. Sorry, fans.
4-1-X.
Whoop-de-doo.
Anyway.
So, Lajoie's got 3 goals right now. Carlson had 9 all last year.
He has none so far this year.
It's time. He missed most of camp because of immigration.
I'm just saying.
So he wasn't able to integrate.
I'm just saying.
Well, we'll see.
A bust.
And I don't like their power play. Oh, man, I don't like their power play.
Whose?
San Jose's.
Okay. I was going to say our power play.
Because they said this is exactly what Otto was doing under Dave Cameron. Because they were Carlson on the right side, who's a right-hand shot, and Burns controls it on the point right now. So he can't one-time it properly to Carlson.
Because Carlson's on the wrong side to take that one-timer.
Correct.
Mm. Oh, well.
But man,
we'll see. Our power play this evening wasn't always successful. We got a couple of power play goals.
2 for 7. I wrote that down. 2 for 7. Flyers were 3 for 7.
So ours was 2 for 7. But on the other 5...
They were close.
There were opportunities, and I remember turning to you at one point and saying, "They're moving. They're not standing still.
Get it off. They're not off.
They're not standing still and expecting the magic.
Pass it to Hoffman.
Well, pass it to Hoffman, but we're going to stand still and expect a passing lane to magically open so I can get it to Hoffman, well, no, so he's open that, for the one time.
The other teams also hire scouts to watch these games, so they prepare. It's like, oh, they're just going to give it to Hoffman, so." Give him that opening and just 5 block
people
him.
Hover around Hoffman.
Yeah.
4.
They put him in a box. Okay, off you go. But I thought the power play, I mean, there were times where their entry is still not great. They were having trouble getting in. But once they got set up, if they were in and able to control the puck and get set up, they were moving. And they were moving. They were not moving the puck only and not moving themselves only. They were doing both. And it was keeping things interesting. And they got some success out of it. I was happy to see that.
Yep.
Please.
Anyways, Fletch goals 2 by Voracek, Couturier 2 by Lawton, Hag, and Giroux. Mm. So.
Well, they lost 8-2 the night before. Gritty lost his bet and had to be called the Guppies.
That's pretty funny. I like that one.
What?
Well, I sent that. I sent you a screenshot.
I must have missed this.
The Philadelphia.
Gritty, who's just. I was terrified of him.
I like Gritty.
When I saw him. After that, I'm like, no, they've hit this out of the park.
They have.
And they've also milked it very well with, you know, why, the Penguins going after him as soon as he was introduced. And he's like, sleep with one eye open, flightless birds. It's like, okay. That's pretty good. That was on Twitter. I'm like, okay, so you're going to have a little bit of personality. Yeah. All right.
And I guess for yesterday, he ended up going to a toy store
that
had like all these like stuffed dolphins and
sharks.
Sharks? Okay. Yeah. And he was just like knocking all them down on the ground and jumps on them and stuff. And then he was holding a sign. I can't remember where it was. I was like, loser of the game changes their name to Guppies. So San Jose went final score. Sharks
8.
8. Guppies 2. So this is where the social media people, especially if they're being positive and collaborative and making fun together. Hello, Arizona Coyotes.
Have they scored yet?
No, maybe tonight. I don't know. So that they can play off of it, and it really kind of drives up. It drives eyes, and that's really what you want in the league.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So,
yeah. But was it Arizona ended up taking a dump on the Sens because they think that we copied them with the road tripping thing?
Yeah.
What? How do I keep missing these things? I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't spend all day on Twitter.
I do not.
So before
Before the Boston game, they had a...
Yeah, and this is where Craig Medaglia is going to be doing these things for road games.
Mm-hmm.
He does a segment called Road Trippin'. And he had just Thomas Chabot talking about Boston and just dumb things that are either not true or just very wrong.
Well, they showed a picture of a Boston cream donut. It's like, in Boston, they just called us a cream donut.
Stupid stuff like that. But anyway, so Arizona's like, hey, they're copying our idea. And Craig's just like, this isn't anything like what you do. It's like, this isn't close to it.
Arizona has scored twice.
What?
At the end of the second period, Arizona and Anaheim are tied 2-2.
Whoa.
Inconceivable. And Washington beat Vegas 5-2.
Wow.
Just saying.
Vegas isn't doing very well.
No.
I don't know how I feel about this trip anymore.
You're going to Vegas. What does it matter?
I was going to cheer them on. Well, it's for 2 games. I don't know.
You're going for 3?
Yeah. But the Islanders are against the Sens, so I'll cheer for the Sens.
Oh, the center's actually there. Okay.
The season.
It's always more fun if you have money on the line. I might have to bring down my bets out because 3 games, jeez. I honestly think I'm going to get my ass handed to me in gambling this time because I've just been way too lucky.
Yeah, and you're not,
way
too and you're not exactly conservative. You're a bit reckless.
Oh,
look, a side bet. Let's add that. Oh, look, another side bet. Let's add that.
No, that's him. I should have been pressing bets, and I probably would have ended up with a couple $1,000. We'll try it this time and see what happens.
Exactly.
Each team had 7 power plays, which was, it was a ridiculous game. Anderson should have had maybe 2 or 3 of those goals, too. Yeah. So he started strong. He made big saves from time to time.
But he had at least one big problem with positioning, I think, maybe even 2.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
And so through these 3 games, Sens have been outshot 112-90, so a 22-shot differential. Year-to-date, if you include the Chicago game, it's 155-115.
Sorry, if I include what?
So with the Chicago game.
Oh, okay.
So they have a shot differential of 40.
Oops.
Over 4 games. That's not good, guys.
And -5 in goal differential.
That's not bad with a 40-shot differential.
Hmm.
That means only 1 in 8 is going in. 12.5%. Anywho. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Shall I read an email? I haven't read an email in ages.
Excuse me. I was going to
mention something really quickly about the arena. Yes. For those who haven't been there yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because we walked around and observed a couple of things. One being the new area up in the 300 level behind the Coca-Cola zone where it's a standing room only.
Yeah, that's right.
We walked over there.
Yeah.
And that's really nice.
Pretty comfy, actually. It's a nice height.
Like, you pay to stand there. It's assigned standing room seating. Really good.
Yeah.
It's not like being at the back of the 300 level. It's good.
Great review.
It's also like you get more space than in one seat because each a row of seats is about 25, but there are only 16 standing spots in there. So you actually have a little bit of room to, you're not standing absolutely shoulder to shoulder with the person next to you. It's great.
Yeah, I was impressed. Yeah. And there's a bar there too.
You did have a there's a dedicated bar?
There's a dedicated bar at the top of it, yeah.
Dedicated bars are the best.
Yeah,
because it just you cut the lines. My shoulders are killing me.
I think you didn't move when you hurt yourself.
I did a workout yesterday. And I'm just really, really burnt out.
All right.
You did have a recommendation.
I will talk to.
I recommend that you email Amy. Take quick note.
I was just my suggestion was put in some coat hooks underneath the counter. Where I mean, this section is a standing area, but it's almost like a standing bar.
And it's a reserve standing area too, right?
Yeah. Right. So you'd be able to hang your jacket right where you're standing, and as long as it's not a long coat, it won't drag on the floor because the bar is high enough. So you can go with your jacket. And I mean, usually the top of the 300s is pretty warm, so you don't have to worry.
We're playing in winter.
Well, yeah, we're playing in winter, so you'll want a jacket to go in, but usually when you're sitting at the very top of the 300s, it's pretty warm. It's not like down in the 100s where you're freezing to death.
I was a little cold tonight, too.
Were you? I was melting.
Oh, really?
I was impressed. I would say worth checking it out.
I'd like to see how much it costs to stand. I think
it's a little cheaper to get in.
For there?
Yeah.
Really?
And that was a fantastic sight line.
Yeah. The sight line is great. You have a dedicated bar. And you have space. Like you have basically for every row of standing, they've taken out two rows of seats. So the wall is not right behind you when you're standing there. It's yeah. great.
The other new section was on the 100 level corner. I don't know the number. I'm going to say behind section 120.
It was a little lower
something
than
that.
Yeah, I was going to say 118, something like that.
Yeah, close to the Sen shop, close to the main gate.
Oh, you guys did
was
see
the
that?
Hard Rock suite or Hard Rock zone. I think anyone can go there and just drop in. It's a bar which kind of sight lines onto the 100 level, you know, the concourse there. So you can see the game. Now, they do have a special area there that I was asking, and apparently it is kind of reserved for you need to have special access to sit there. But, you know, we walk right in. It's, I mean, 100 level suite view.
Yeah. The very front of it, like where the
to walk into it,
yeah, okay. where the seats we would be in front of a suite, like this, you know how you have a suite, the area of the suite, and then you have the seating area. The seating area is reserved.
Seems to be,
yeah.
It's just like the club bell.
No, it's all cafe tables,
whatever that thing is.
It's not clear how that's gonna.
It's cafe tables. It's not seats.
That's fun.
Yeah, but you can't get in there without a ticket, apparently. But the back half of it, where you can still see the ice, but the back half,
yeah,
have at it. And there's a bar.
Yeah, which one's Fan Deck's a 200 level, or is that the one?
200.
200, yeah.
Yeah, because with that one, you can stand there. The music's too loud. I haven't been down this year, but it's just... Oh, did you guys go?
We walked past it. It was blaring.
It is, yeah.
We walked past
it. It hurts.
When we came down from the 300s, we walked past it.
With the cement in the building, it hurts because it just resonates.
Yeah, it was too loud. For me, at least.
And you honestly... Yeah, I can't have conversations there.
No, well... It's painful after a while. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
Shoot, wasn't it insane? Yeah, so there, because you can stand there, or you have your dedicated seats, which are very expensive, but you can also go and have your assigned seating there.
So I can just walk into the fan zone, have a beer?
Have a beer and watch a game from there if you want.
Sure.
You missed a big piece of the ice, so I don't know if that's the same thing as Hard Rock.
Got the screen.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, the Hard Rock, you'd be a little, part of it would be a little obscured, especially since you're down low.
Because I think they did that on purpose, which is good.
Yeah.
Because then people just get like the $10 tickets. And
that was my suggestion. We were asking.
Get a cheap seat and go down, you know,
that's what happens in Chicago, in Detroit. I know that they have all the empty seats. They have a lot of empty seats. And they just say, it's like, oh no, people are just checking out the arena. It's like, no. No, they're not. These are unsold seats.
Oh.
But.
I was just thinking if you could sit in the front part of it, which is why we were asking about it, buy a seat in the top of the 300s, and then for the difference in price from a 100 level seat, go down and drink the difference in beer.
Yeah.
That'd be a good night, because that would be a lot of beer, even at the prices they charge there.
Yeah, this is one recommendation I'm going to throw out, and I'm sure Craig will listen to this, maybe. Because the press box is great and everything, but being that we're the influencers, if the team wants to send us to different sections throughout the arena for different games so that we can experience it from different levels, I think because the general public can't buy tickets in the press box. But if we can talk about our experience in regards to... Club Bell or Molson or even like that standing room
or a regular 200 or a regular whatever.
Exactly. That's
an interesting idea.
So that way we can give
our
feedback. Granted, I'm sure that they kind of know this stuff on their own, but maybe not. Just give our public feedback and do different recommendations.
Yeah, like for example, that standing room in the Coke Zone. Like I would recommend you check it out.
Like I would too.
I was impressed.
I keep hitting your computer. The ledge, I know you really like too.
It's unique. It's like an interesting experience. You get a
meal. I really wish they would do better meals. But
meal is,
It's the same everywhere.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
It's an interesting experience.
Yeah. But it's, again, it's a secluded area, which I think, Cardinal, is what you liked about the press box. It's secluded.
Well, it was a little quieter. And secluded is not a bad word, actually, because it gave me the chance to be more objective. Like, I could be more studious about watching what was going on.
I wouldn't necessarily call it objective, but I would call it
maybe more perspective. Like, I was looking at it really from a detached...
You're more analytical.
Fair enough. There's a good word. Yeah, that's a better word for it indeed. And it was fun.
In theory, we're not sitting with fans. In theory. Because in media.
Yeah. I know. There is no
cheering in the media room.
I like that. Yeah. Because it enabled me to be much more analytical because I wasn't being... No, I don't want to say disturbed, but when there's a lot of noise around you, it's hard to do that. Mm-hmm. And also, I could actually watch the whole thing without constantly thinking about, am I blocking the person behind me? Because I'm not very wide, but I am pretty tall. So I tend to block the sight line of the person behind me unless I'm really conscious about how I'm sitting. And I didn't have to do that today. It was great.
Yeah.
So I like that too. Shall I read an email since I haven't done this in ages? This is from Scott, and it's a little long, but it's pretty good. Hey, Cardinal Canuck and Pan, thanks again for reading my whole email during the last podcast. Definitely self-indulgent and far too long, but your kind words absolutely made my week. I think that must have been the episode you guys did, because it wasn't.
Yes.
Yeah. No. It's a weird time right now to be a Sens fan. I'm emotionally reacted to every trash decision, cursed the owner for even attempting to spin his cost-cutting measures, and had more than a few sleepless nights wondering what's it going to take for this nightmare to finally end. In spite of everything, though, I have to cheer for this team, and part of me hates myself for doing that. Getting dragged back in only to be consistently humiliated, embarrassed, and treated as though I'm just the vocal minority who can't see their noble pursuits of building a good guy hockey team full of Johnny Tryhards and Bobby good guys just plain sucks. It is so against my nature to not cheer for them that even this incarnation of the team, built entirely as a byproduct of a cheap owner cutting costs, I cannot cheer against them. I actually like these players, and in the moment of watching the games, I really want them to do well. Every member of this team represents a badly skewed view of what an NHL hockey team is. A rich businessman watching through a prism of flawed intent. I came into the season ready to watch this team crash and burn and just revel in both the team's and my own misery, mm-hmm. wanting rock bottom to hit so that circumstance could force Eugene Melnyk into selling the team. Any success this team has is coincidental and could delay actual, for real, rock bottom. But I just can't do it. I have to watch and I have to cheer for them, and I hate that I can only live in the moment when following this team. Anyone else? It can't just be me. Thanks again, guys. Scott.
I'm in the same boat right now.
Read your PS there.
PS. I have wanted to ask you guys, national media has been revisiting the 2018 versus 2019 draft pick that Ottawa needs to give up lately. Nobody seems to talk about or share my opinion that the Sens just don't want Jack Hughes or any other super high-skill player. He will be expensive and against their long-term vision of character over skill. It seems to me that's exactly why Brady Tkachuk is, and the reason Pierre Dorion acted as though he won the lottery when he was selected. Since he's got the intangibles, he'll be comparatively cheap and fits into this whole money puck movement Eugene has been selling. Is this too tinfoil hat? Cardinal, I would love for you to weigh in. I do not, for one, think that Brady Tkachuk will be cheap.
No. No.
And I don't think that he's just a character guy. The kid can play.
I can't stand when character can mean so many things in hockey. I can't stand the fact that they use that word. That they use it.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the primary. I mean, they use it a lot, and I think it sometimes
means very little.
I think it becomes a catch-all phrase to denote a player they like. I don't think it necessarily means that.
Is he a good guy? Like, Chris Neal had a lot of character.
Well, is he a good guy? As in, you know, is he a character like he's a Joker? Is he a character like he's a good person in the community? Like he's a good character?
Yeah.
Or is he a character like a practical joker? Is he a good character that, you know, whatever?
That Eric Carlson, he was quite the character. Well, you can use it in a negative sense,
Was he a good character guy?
Well, even if you watch a nightmare of the video between Borowiecki and Melnyk, Borowiecki's like, oh, yeah, we've got quite a few characters in the room. He's like, yeah, character's a good thing. I'm like, no, that's not what he means. He's like, we've got a bunch of jokers. And just like, Borowiecki he keeps it easy and all that, too.
Right? Exactly.
But honestly, going to that point, you know, a couple of different points from what I've seen. And I think I mentioned this last episode. Excuse me. This beer's really getting to me. Brady Tkachuk is a better overall player than Filip Zadina will ever be. Filip Zadina should outscore Brady Tkachuk.
I think that's a very fair and accurate assessment. Yeah, I agree. He will not score as many, but he's a better overall player. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because we've had we've had players who were really good scorers. One-dimensional, really good scorers. And what did everybody say about them? Damn it, why can't they do something? Like, why can't they play defense? Why doesn't he hustle? Why doesn't he do something? Like, why is he so lazy? Why is he not doing this?
Zadina might be Spets as a winger.
I was going to
say... No, that's not true, because Spets is more of a playmaker. So Hoffman? He's definitely... He's probably a better Hoffman.
I was going to say Hoffman or Heatley.
No, Heatley could play back.
Could.
He wasn't necessarily the worst.
Could.
I don't remember much.
Could.
Didn't matter when we were winning 6-3 all every game, but...
Could. Didn't. God. Often.
But honestly, remember when every game... That team was so good. They would start the game and they would immediately score. And they did it probably 15 times in 1 year. And it was amazing.
But I agree. I think Filip Zadina will outscore Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk will be a better overall player. Which means it's not a bad choice. Just because they say they like his character because he's, you know, he works hard and he's feisty, which he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't back down from people, which he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
showed that tonight too.
And he's eager and he listens to coaching and that is an overall, like if I was to say, what's your overall, if you wanted to design the perfect hockey player, I'd say, well, let's see. He has skill.
He's got a really good meme going on right now.
I was going to say he's got skill.
Oh yeah.
He's got vision. He's got drive and he's coachable. That's the perfect hockey player.
Yeah,
and I would say that's pretty much him. So right. I'm okay with Brady Tkachuk being selected fourth. And when he fell to fourth, I went, okay.
Well, that's also because Montreal went off the board.
Yeah. So
because the first two was automatic.
Yeah.
And then, it's like a marathon, right? Because you had Dahlin. Because like if you're looking at a marathon, it's like he was just off to the races.
Oh, head,
Zvechnikov was behind him, but still on his own. And then you had a pack of 3-4 guys. And then
everybody else.
The rest of the group. The chase group, I think it's called in racing. Which is just how the bell curve works, how everything works with drafting.
Too. For sure.
But when... Because Zadina versus Tkachuk is going to be one conversation. Tkachuk over Kotkaniemi. And I know that Ottawa fell two spots in the draft lottery.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we fell one. Because if we would have gone third, they still would have picked Tkachuk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with that. As far as...
I mentioned it in the rookie season. He's the first power forward that we've seen. And on the radio, they mentioned that he was the last Senators player that we saw go to the net like that might have been Nick Foligno.
Yeah, we were talking
about that. And he would get goalie interference penalties.
After penalty, yeah. Even when he wasn't doing it, he was still getting them.
He got tossed from a game once for trying to avoid a hit. He tried to jump over the guy, still made contact, and he threw him out of the game.
Hmm. To Scott's
email. Was it McCreary or Magoon?
Oh, I don't
know. To Scott's email, though, it does sound like an abusive relationship, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's Godfather 3.
Godfather 3.
I'm not on board with that.
When I thought I was out, they just pulled me back in.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
for me, it's not that way at all. And I went into that in depth in our last episode, so I shan't rehash that. But I'm not that way at all.
Yeah. But again, not another penny until I'm going to be hypocritical, but not another penny until you show me something else.
Well, what
you got a voicemail?
What would it have to show you?
The money!
pretty much.
Well, okay, so 2 hours.
Stone and Duchesne, so we'll see in January.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, we have a voicemail. Yeah. Do that.
Hey, guys. It's currently 2:51 a.m. My name's Alex. I live in Rochester, New York, but I'm driving up to Ottawa right now for a funeral. So I'm glad that you guys were able to help keep me awake for... good hour and 45 minutes. I love the long podcast. Just wanted to let you know, though, with my job last, yesterday, Thursday, I got to meet Scott Wedgwood, who was moving into Rochester to play for the Americans this season. And although he didn't know anyone directly on the Sens except for Mark Stone from several years back, I asked him basically amongst the players what's the scuttlebutt and just about the whole Carlson situation. And he said, by and large, I mean, it's something that they talked about a lot, but by and large, they all agreed that they wouldn't know why he would stay there, regardless of the ownership situation, that with losing the baby and the harassment issues, whether or not it was Hoffman's girlfriend, Miss Carrick, or not, that sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. I'm real tired. but basically, most of the players are in the same boat as the fans here. They can't stand ownership. They don't hate the city, which is something that I'm at least glad to hear. And I mean, he even brought up that of all the big name, big ticket guys that left, for the most part, they all wanted to stay. Even Carlson at the end, I'm still prone to believe that he did want to stay in the city. I mean, Alfredson moved back, and even though he got fired by the team, he's still here. So, I mean, at least we got that going for us. Anyway, thanks a lot for everything, guys. Great show. Keep the long ones coming if you can. I love it. Have a good night.
That's what she said.
Well, I hope the driving was safe.
Cause, yeah, and condolences to your loss.
Yeah, indeed. 3 o'clock in the morning, that's when the... you could be wide awake and wired on 17 cups of coffee, but 3 o'clock in the morning, you still start getting the eye droops.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Thank you for that.
No, and how many people actually like their boss? I do.
Right. Currently, no. I have in the past. No, just the one I have right now. I'm ambivalent to. I don't like or dislike. He's new, so I don't know. I've liked some in the past, and I've absolutely hated some in the past.
I've had both situations.
I got one fired.
And, you know, your relationship with your immediate manager has so much effect on your enjoyment of your job.
Absolutely. Now, the problem is when it's your manager's manager's manager who's getting involved.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have the skill set of dealing with this. That's where it's a problem.
Yeah. Been through that.
Yeah, you have.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Didn't go well.
Yep. And you got kicked out.
I was downsized, yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
Essentially, this is pretty... Can't afford Carlson, so well, goodbye. And let's change your wording to say that he actually wanted to leave. It's like, but that's the main problem. Should the owner have a relationship with all these players?
Absolutely not.
Remember 3 years ago when Eugene was sitting in on the exit interviews?
Yeah.
Let your people do their work. And he doesn't, and that's the way that he chooses to run his business, and that's problematic, and it's a top-down issue.
It's a top-down issue, but the problem is the problem's the top of it.
Right.
So who's going to tell him that it's a problem? And I say that really honestly. Is the news...
Oh, I think Brian Murray was doing it. It's like, just let me handle this, and it goes so far.
Brian Murray was filtering it, but he couldn't stop it. I think that there's nobody left with as much clout as Brian Murray had due to seniority and respect around the league and the fact that he'd been there for years, et cetera, et cetera.
And that Eugene has nothing to do.
Well, there's that. That's a problem, too. But, I mean, I went into that in our last episode about what I thought.
Now, we haven't heard from him in a month since the video, I think.
Touchwood. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Let's keep it up. Put your hands in the air.
Just go skating with the kids.
Go skating with the kids.
I'll see you in 2 months.
Go skating.
December. With the, yeah, that's around Christmas.
We'll see you in December when you go skating with the kids.
And then I'll see you in April.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you at the end of the season. Whenever that happens to be.
Or I'll see you in January 1st when you sell the team. Calling it. I've been calling it for 5 years.
Hey, it's got to be right one of these times.
Hey, so I've called some dumb stuff before. Joe Corvo, David Leguan, Chris Phillips on a 2-year deal.
I called a couple. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong.
Stupidity, some of the stuff that I've called out. Now, and with because I was kind of looking at things and just in regards to, I'm happy the people are saying that the players like the city, especially for the older ones that have a family. Ottawa is a great place to raise your team. I know some players like to play in a Canadian market because it's just a different experience, which it is. And everyone always says, well, the tax effect, the tax effect, the tax effect.
So what's the tax effect? What's the real tax effect? Not what's the one that people
talk about. So the thing is with that is that the tax effect in Ontario is the same as California and I believe New York.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because they have what? Extra luxury taxes on?
No, no. It's the elite get charged high.
Oh.
So the same as New York and California.
Right. So if you look at Carlson, who's probably renting in San Jose, so his net pay is going to be the same. How much do you think his rent's going to be in San Jose versus his ownership Huge. In Ottawa? In Canadian dollars.
Well, he still owns the house here.
Right, but yeah. Null effect even if you were to sell it.
It's going
to
be huge.
His rent's going to be what, 20 grand a month?
Well, to get the standard of living he's accustomed to, probably, yep. Yeah.
And a player here would get what, 5 grand a month for an elite house?
You could get a pretty nice one for 5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah. So these are the things that it does match up. And one team that has been apparently dealing well with the tax rules is Nashville. So if you think that if a team is moving if a player is signing there because of the tax benefits, what do you think that they would want in their contract as well?
No trade.
Correct. How many players do you think, or how many players on Nashville have a no trade?
No idea.
This is 7.
This is bringing me back to remember the math.
Do we have a spreadsheet?
With the sense on the Detroit model from friggin' 8 years ago. Do you know how many? Do you want to take a guess? So 7?
No idea. 10.
Yes, and.
10.
1.
Really?
Pekka Rinne, and he's up this year.
Really? That's interesting.
Yep. So they're saying they're going to take less because of the tax implication. There's no guarantee these guys are going to play. They're going to stay there.
Well, that's...
And we've proven that with Shea Weber, which is a different scenario because it was an offer sheet match.
That's where I was going. Interesting.
That was an offer sheet match.
Oh, I know that.
Because Philly didn't do it.
I know that. But it's still curious.
Yeah. And I still think that one of these guys should be moving to Toronto.
Now, Nashville taxes...
Zero.
Tennessee... Okay, so Tennessee is the same as Florida.
Yes.
Okay. So any other states like that?
Your point is that you're surprised.
Nevada.
Okay, Vegas.
You're surprised players aren't accepting a little less to get a no
trade. To get a no trade.
Wow, yeah. Okay. So it's not a big deal to them, apparently.
Yeah, this, to me, it looks like it's a team mandate.
I was going
to
say, or the team says no.
We're but not then, okay, this. Well, I think Arizona's one too. I don't know all the rules and I don't care enough. But because I looked at this, I'm like, this isn't an issue.
That's an interesting thought. I'm serious. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Oops.
That's my point. Let's go back to your Sen stuff that you wanted to talk about.
I don't have much more, actually. Sorry.
You want to go CC?
We got a couple of notes. That's true. Just a second. Sorry. My things are acting up just a bit. There we go.
So one thing is we do have 4 A's.
We have 4 A's, no C. But we talked about that last
time. But we do have a CC.
I want to talk
about it. It's Mark Stone.
Nice. It's been a while since we heard one of those. I want to talk about CC usage briefly, and I will attempt to make this only briefly. CC is definitely the new whipping boy. He was the whipping boy last year, but now he's really the focus of being the whipping boy.
So most expensive defenseman.
He's also the most expensive, yeah.
Yeah, but that's because a lot of them are really, really cheap, not because he costs all that much.
DeMello's 900 grand.
Yeah. Be that. That's not what I was going to say, what is Lajoie? He's an entry
He's being
level.
Put in the hardest.
ELC, though, it's
He's
different.
Being put in the hardest positions.
He's being put in the hardest positions, and I really think the biggest problem is he's being put in the hardest positions to play that don't fall in his skill set.
Correct.
We've been saying that for 3 years now.
He's not a defensive defenseman.
Nope.
He's not a shutdown guy.
And
but
as much as you say that he isn't.
And the coach keeps doing that. And I'm starting to actually feel genuinely sorry for him.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure you've been put at one point of your working life. whether it was when you were 16 or whether you were 20 or whether it's what you are now. Mm-hmm. You've been put into a job or given a task that you did not have, I don't want to say not have a hope, but you were going to struggle with because it didn't really fall within either A, your skill set, or B, what you were just genuinely good at. We've all had that happen to us at work at one point or another. Here, this is what you're going to do. Not really my wheelhouse, you know.
The boss that I got fired.
And I'm really genuinely feeling sorry for him. I watched him play in junior, and the way he played in junior and the way that he played in the AHL was much more of an aggressive game, not a defensive game. And being forced into that, is he a big body? Yeah, he's a big kid. A kid at, 23? He's big, but that's not his skill set.
He's the deli guy who's working the meat counter.
He's the deli guy working in produce is what he is. Right? It's just not his thing.
He's a janitor running the cash at this point, to be honest.
I genuinely feel sorry for him. They were talking about it on the radio today and thinking, well, does he need a change of scenery?
Like, if, yeah.
If he gets a change of scenery where he actually gets to play to his strengths, would that be an advantage for him? And I'm thinking, yeah.
Larry Murphy.
But if we do that, then what are we going to get back? Like, if we
could. Straight up.
If we could trade him for a genuinely defensive defenseman, I'd be okay with that. But it would have to be a.
In this NHL, it's difficult to find that too, right?
It wouldn't be a top pairing.
You don't think Toronto's looking for that?
No, Cody Ceci's not. Or you mean a defensive?
A defensive defenseman.
Not necessarily. I think they need to put another puck mover because you got Morgan Riley's fantastic. Well, I've been watching way too many.
Should introduce them to Cody Ceci.
Yeah, but they've got nothing that we would be interested in coming back. They have defensive problems. No. Nylander?
I don't know their Liljegren, but.
I was going to say, we'll trade CC for Nylander as long as we can turn Nylander around and get a defenseman.
And again, this is where I keep saying, like, they should be sending Nylander over to Nashville for Ryan Ellis, and you've got an expansion team coming in within 2 years. Not this season, not next season, the season after that.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville's going to be in trouble at some point. Take the offensive guy now.
I would be really happy to. I mean, I like Cody Ceci, but I feel so bad for what he's being forced to do.
Well, I've mentioned it ever since Carlson's been moved out. Is that Cody Ceci's going to have a nervous breakdown?
It's not. Yeah,
it's not
his gig.
He's not. He hasn't been good in regards to the role that he's been given for the last 3 years, and now it's just not fair.
Well,
remember, he was protected over Mathot.
Mathot makes more, and Mathot's 7 years older or something like that.
And he wasn't being put into the position that he is now because there were people above him to insulate him at the time.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
Right. He was third on the defensive.
Well, we took care of that.
He was number three on the defensive depth chart at the time. Not figuring, he's your number one guy.
Depth chart, yes, but actual, he was four.
True.
And he should have been 5'6".
True.
And you've mentioned that before.
So I'm just genuinely feeling sorry for him at the moment. I am.
Yeah.
And I really hope that something.
Only thing I could say, granted, Edmonton doesn't have cap space for it. Darnell, or not Nurse. It might be. No. Who am I thinking in Detroit? In Detroit.
In Edmonton. We're all starting to get tired.
You know what? I think it is Darnell Nurse. Both of them kind of need a change of scenery.
Could do.
Flip them.
Could do.
It's just there's too much pressure. And honestly, it's Larry Murphy. Because if you remember way back in the mid-90s, Larry Murphy, who played with Toronto, was a 1-2 guy, and Toronto fans would boo him every time he touched the puck.
My one problem with trading Cody Ceci.
And then they traded him to Detroit, and he was a 5-6, and they ended up, and now he's just cup winner.
Exactly.
Because, again, you played to your strengths.
Put into the role where he could succeed.
Yeah.
My one problem with trading Cody Ceci is the most experienced who's got more games played? Boro or Ceci?
No, he's got the more.
Okay, so it would go down to Boro and then who? DeMello?
Yeah, I think so.
So we'd have five really green defensemen.
Pick a guy off waivers.
I want a good one. That's the problem.
Just get a depth guy. Borowiecki isn't fast enough.
Yaros.
Yeah, but Yaros doesn't have the experience, right?
No, I know exactly. That I mean,
so that's the thing. Is like I need to see Yaros in the NHL before I move CeCe, and that could come at any day.
Well, then you have Ben Harper,
and so Lajoie and Chabot have played more than CeCe tonight. So yeah. I don't know if CeCe's hurt. I don't know if they're actually trying to just change things up for him a bit, which they shouldn't.
That's interesting that Lajoie played and Chabot played more because he was being paired with Lajoie, not with Boro.
They might have flipped things around during the penalty kill.
Maybe so.
There's a lot of penalty kill.
There were 9, you said.
7 on each side.
Oh. Wow. All right. Anything else? Week to come? You know what grinds my gears?
Eugene Melnick.
People who stop in the... Well, what Ryan grinds my gears this week.
Told me to hit it?
Sure.
You know what really grinds my gears?
It's people who stop in the middle of a sidewalk or an aisle in a store or somewhere where there's pedestrian traffic flow. They stop dead because they need to answer their phone.
Yes.
You can't walk and do that at the same time.
Yeah, no. I always move out to the side.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't.
No.
And they'll do it in the middle of a store. They'll do it in the middle of a sidewalk.
Bottom of an escalator. Yeah.
Bottom of the free. The airport escalator is terrifying because people bunch up there. I'm like, you gotta move.
That's when I shout.
This is gonna, yeah.
Move. Well, don't shout at us. We're just greeting our friends. Like, do it over there.
The machine will eat me.
Do it over there. Take 5 steps out of the way.
Well, why can't you just wait?
Because the floor's moving me towards you. I can't stop it.
All right. Well, then how about people that get on the moving sidewalk, the flat ones, and then they stop walking?
Isn't that...
And they don't stay to the side.
They can. I was going
to
say...
Well, you can stay to the right.
If you stay to the right, that's fine.
They block it.
Well...
Or the express ones, or just the regular ones?
Whatever.
Okay. I agree.
Week to come?
Yeah.
Do you have a Grinzer gear, or is it also Eugene Melnick?
Well, it's always Eugene Melnick, so go for it.
All right. Week to come. Saturday afternoon game against LA. That one sold well because of the afternoon period. So I know a lot of people jumped to it because of their kids. Boy, did they ever paper the building. But anyways, so 5-game homestand. This is game 1. Good start, boys. So LA, Monday, Dallas will be there.
Yep. All 3 of us?
No, you and I.
Oh, just you and I. Okay.
Yeah. Are you going to that? No,
I think Monday. So.
Are you?
I think so.
Okay, maybe we'll record after that.
Oh.
Maybe. Who knows?
We'll see.
again, that might be the best option because after that, we've got 4 days off, Montreal.
Yeah, and those 4 days are a disaster, and then I'm going away for the weekend.
Okay, yeah, so let's try for that.
Okay.
We've got it on recording this time, so you guys will know.
I know. I haven't listened to the last recording yet.
Sure. Well, and then after, you were there, so I hope that you know. Well,
apparently I said things that I didn't realize I was saying during the last one, so we'll have to, I really want to go back.
So hopefully we'll do that. It's 2 games.
Moonshine.
It's 2 West games, 2 home games, lots of rest between, so they should be good because rest is a weapon. If we do miss it, Montreal on the 20th, and then Tuesday on the 23rd against Boston, and then Canuck and I are gone for a week, so...
So we better record next Monday because it'll be 3 weeks before we do the one after that.
Yeah. Did we book something for the Friday night?
Yeah. Hockey game on the Friday night.
When you get there, yeah. Like hockey game. We already talked about
this. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. It's Sens play Colorado pretty much the same time. Okay. I was hoping to see that.
Well, you want to hop down to Colorado? Oh, okay.
Frig, I'm not going to miss a thing. Sweet. This schedule rocks.
All right. So that's the week to come. We'll be back hopefully next Monday. We'll see.
I think we've got this under an hour.
Subject to change.
Good job, boys.
All right.
Good job.
On behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal. Thank you all very much for listening. Good night.
Later.
What's left to say? These prayers aren't working anymore. Every word shut down in flames. What's left to do with these broken pieces on the floor? I'm losing my voice, calling on you. 'Cause I've been shaking, I've been bending backwards.
words till I'm broke, watching all these dreams go up in smoke.